Condon.
Ken Miller. Trent Condon. Miller and Condon on 1460 KXNO. And now on 106.3 FM.
All right, good morning, everybody, and welcome in. It's Miller and Condon on a Monday, Des Moines Sports Station, 1460 KXNO, 106.3 FM. Trent Condon, Ken Miller, talking sports with you for the next couple of hours. Appreciate you spending some of your morning here with us, and we've got a lot to talk about, don't we? BMW of Des Moines guest list looks like this. Bottom of the hour, Scott Dockerman from The Athletic. We will recap the Hawks and send them into their bye week with Scott Dockerman at 10:30. 10:50, we'll go to Vegas, where the books are licking their wounds after the bettors got them yesterday in a big, big way. Circa's Mike Palm will join us at 10:50. It's a regular spot for Circa going forward. 11:05, Trent, Bama, and I, Bama Bob, will go around college football, recapping it from a national perspective. And then Michael Swain at 11:35, our final guest of the day, on Iowa State's convincing win over K-State, and now they get set to host one of the few unbeaten teams in college football. The Oklahoma State Cowboys come to town. 2:30 on Fox on Saturday. Hawks have a bye. NFL was great. The Sunday baseball last night was unbelievable. Mm-hmm. How about those Bravos? 2-0 on the Dodgers. Dodgers now plus money to win that series. That's a little tempting, but nonetheless, so much to do, Trent, and so little time. How are you?
I'm doing well. It was a crappy weekend for me as it pertains to the teams that I cheer for. Of course, the Hawks and Bears.
Likewise.
Yeah, it was not
Jets
a pretty
Broncos
run.
Broncos down in flames.
But last night, that was fun.
The baseball or the football?
Both. It just got me kind of reinvigorated. I was a little crabby, a little pissy, mm-hmm. and that was the one that, oh yeah, I do like sports, and those are the reasons for it.
No, last night was terrific. So help me out on this. I watched more of the Vikings than I did the Bears. We'll get to Iowa State and Iowa in a second here. Early in the football game, Justin Fields throws the ball. He thought it was a free play. Do you know what I'm referring to? He got picked off early in the football game. Did the Packers not jump?
It looked like they did, certainly initially, too. So when the play happens, free play.
That's what I thought.
Because
he thought, obviously.
There was movement with the defensive lineman for Green Bay. And when they went back and showed it and slowed it down, he did move. And it looked like he moved early. I don't think he passed the line of
scrimmage.
He wasn't
in the neutral zone at all. Hmm?
And I'm wondering. Now, I played quarterback in 7th and 8th grade. A little bit different here than the NFL.
Tad.
But when those free plays happen, and Aaron Rodgers is as good as anybody, do they take the look to make sure that the ref threw the flag, though?
Well, you have to.
You would think so, right? And is that just a learning process thing for Fields?
I think it is, yeah.
You have to know for mm-hmm. sure if you're going to throw one of those up. Because I thought the same thing in live action. Oh, yeah, he's across. Free play.
Mm-hmm.
And then when they slowed it down, I didn't think he was across. Mm-hmm. It was really close. And it feels like maybe more times than not, a flag usually does come out in that situation where the movement is early, even if they don't cross
it. The judge held his water.
So, Justin Fields, go back, figure it out.
Yeah.
Because we got another 12 years, 15 years, hopefully.
And you're very fortunate for that because the kid's going to be good. So
yes.
Let's get to the good before we do the bad. And the good was clearly Iowa State, who seemingly were, I thought I said all the week, it's a crossroads, right? Mm-hmm. Which way is the season going to go? Trent, that's the best I've ever seen Brock Purdy play.
Pretty high praise.
I mean, yeah,
he's been a really good quarterback.
He's got all the records. I mean, what is it, 29? And I thought that was his best game as a Cyclone. In the particular, the pass he threw to Shaw mm-hmm. after that 10-minute drive to start the second. Boy, that's just got to be, if you're a Wildcat, my God, how do you overcome that? Skylar Thompson tried. But that pass to Shaw in the end zone for the touchdown. And Charlie Kohler, he's just automatic on third down. Purdy completing, extending drives one time after another. Trent, Breece Hall, what can you say? Jalen Noel. Get his name right. Noel, not Noel, Noel.
It's null in the pronunciation guide.
Null?
N-U-L-L is how it says it in the pronunciation
Jalen
guide.
Jalen Null.
Yes.
Emerged.
Another guy from down in that area, huh?
Oof.
Those Kansas City, well, Wichita guys with Breece Hall.
How did they get out of town? Well, the Jayhawks, a big reason, big part of it, Jayhawk football. Can't get wait to get away from it fast enough. But all of a sudden now, this game Saturday afternoon, Fox picked it up, 2:30, middle of the afternoon. And as you will see, as you look ahead, folks, it is an awful week of college football.
Yes.
And here's one little nugget here for you. Be prepared for this. If you like to, you know, if you're getting clobbered early in the day, I got all day to get it back. No, you don't. The late games kick at 6:30 on Saturday.
There's no Pac-12 after dark.
There's nothing that kicks after 6:30.
Well, we have one thing, and that's the Hawaii Rainbow Warriors at 11 o'clock.
Okay.
So if you're looking to get right, but it's not a deep slate. There's no Arizona State, Utah like we had this week, which was fun. Of course, the Ole Miss Tennessee game.
That's a whole nother story.
Went late into the evening.
Is it time to revisit the alcohol at stadiums?
No.
You need it to be a little bit worse than what you witnessed.
Well, you think that wouldn't have happened without that?
Well, what would they
were well lubricated.
It was Dasani. Now, here's the other thing about that. Who in their right mind, you know what? I better take this golf ball.
Oh, yeah. Just in case.
Just in case. You never know when you're going to need to chuck a golf ball at a coach. I mean, come on. And there was beer thrown onto the field at Kinnick Stadium and made one for one of the most incredible pictures.
Yes.
Of that offensive lineman. Was he D-line or O-line?
O-line, big O-line. 69, yeah.
69.
He deserved it.
He really did.
The Purdue entire, offensive line, yeah.
The entire offensive line deserved this buds for them.
Yes.
That was unreal. But let's go back to Iowa State before we move on to Iowa. And I know we'll get to that in a second. Trent, I was incredibly impressed by this performance out of this group. I thought Mike Rose had his best game of the year by a mile. Isheem Young was all over the football game. McDonald, a cornerback, 27. Not Will McDonald, who jumps out seemingly every time they play a little defense, but Craig McDonald, a freshman from Minneapolis, 6'3", a corner or a safety of that size?
It looks like Matt Campbell has a type when it comes to cornerback. Ooh. With TJ Tampa on one side.
Same
and now
type as I like, by the way. Good for you, yes. Matt Campbell. You get some length of these guys, but this kid was terrific. Again, didn't know. We'd seen them beat Kansas. We'd seen them beat UNLV, struggle to beat UNI, and the two teams with the pulse got them. They kicked you-know-what on Saturday night. I was incredibly impressed.
And an offensive line this year that has been maligned.
Mm-hmm. And they put a new left tackle in, Hufford.
Yes. They played certainly their best game of the year.
Uh-huh.
I think top to bottom, both run blocking and pass blocking. Because there's been one of the two, it's felt like,
for
most
sure
times.
Yeah.
But it hasn't felt like they've had both of them. And the offensive line played at an incredibly high level. I think that's a big piece. Downing played at a really, really high level, I thought. He was just road grating out there. And Breece Hall get up behind him, and away he goes at the first play. They're just off and running.
Really?
And with that, were you ever concerned? I know the ghosts of Kansas State lived in, what, after they got it to 31-20? Is that what it was?
Yeah, I think it was 31-20, and K-State outscored them in the fourth quarter. I mean, if you're picking nits, that would be the only thing, that Haycock's defense gave up a couple of touchdowns in the second half. But how can you get... You can't.
No.
I mean, this was almost a flawless performance.
On the road.
On the road, a place you haven't won since 2004, Campbell's only stadium he had never won at in the Big 12.
And he won in a big-time way. Mm-hmm. It was domination.
Mm-hmm.
And now you look forward with this team. Like you said last week, we didn't know them. We just didn't know what this team was. And now you look at the remaining schedule. Who scares you?
Well, Oklahoma. They got a quarterback.
Iowa State's played pretty well against the Sooners now over the last 5 years.
That's true. And it's good. It's good that Oklahoma finally found a quarterback.
Yeah, boy, it's been such a struggle.
It's been such a struggle to find somebody to play quarterback at that school. My God, is he good.
Yes, Caleb Williams.
Holy crap.
And you see, I saw there was one book out there. Of course, we can't bet Heisman here in our state, but one that still had him at 50-1 after Saturday's performance. Huh. Hadn't taken it down yet.
And really?
A gambling podcast I listened to said, yeah, we snapped that one right up. Can you imagine a guy that didn't play till basically halfway through the year was going to win the Heisman Trophy?
Well, who else is?
Right. There isn't a whole lot of people there.
No. The big nose tackle from Georgia?
Right.
I mean, who's really good, but
right.
I mean, come on.
Yeah.
Anyways, huge performance out of Iowa State. Cannot wait for this game on Saturday. We'll talk a lot about it leading up to Saturday. Now, conversely, on the other side of the state, Trent, here's my big take on my overall thing, and it was an awful game. I mean, it was just an awful game. But if we were to pull Hawk fans July, August, You go into the bye. Was you signed for 6-1? Who wouldn't have?
Right. Very, very few.
No, I don't think even the, you know, the most card carrying member of Hawkeye Nation, the sickest of the sick,
right,
would say this team's going to be unbeaten.
We're 6-1. You're happy with that.
You gotta be.
But the way that it played out.
And who it played out to, right?
Right. Yeah. Now, it shouldn't come as a surprise.
Well,
I tried to say all week, and this was a concerning matchup, and for a couple of different reasons, starting with Brown. I mean, just, he is kryptonite to Ferentz and Phil Parker. He does exactly what they try to negate. They find whatever it is that you can't do, and they're going to exploit it time and time out.
Picked on Terry Roberts.
They did. Mm-hmm. They picked on Matt Hankins, who had one of his worst games as a
Hawkeye. Yeah, and got hurt and came back in and wasn't the same. Well, he was getting beat before
he
that,
was.
Though.
Yeah. David Bell. Mm. They just continually went to him. And listening to Brown after the game, he was surprised. Iowa didn't do a whole lot differently. They basically did what Iowa defense does. And this is the problem with this matchup. And overall, this is a problem against teams like Purdue, like Northwestern, the teams that are going to do what they do. And it works very well against Iowa because Iowa doesn't adjust very well. They don't make those major adjustments that are necessary. And you saw it play out in that way. Defensive line couldn't get pressure. No. That was a concern all summer long.
Yep.
Where's the pressure going to come from? They tried to do things. They brought Campbell a bunch of times. They brought Benson a bunch of times. They brought guys from the outside and couldn't get home.
So let me stop you first, just for a second. So going into the week, were you aware that Purdue had one of the best lines that I would see, offensive line at this point? I don't remember it being a big talker, but man, they must.
It really wasn't. It wasn't ranked that way. It wasn't something that graded out at a high level, anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing was that this team has a real defense, and that was a change
Karlaftis
from the past.
Karlaftis is a difference maker.
He was, and you look at the numbers. He had a tackle in the game, but if you just look at the stats and didn't watch the game,
oh, he had a bad day.
He impacted the game in so many different ways. But
no, are you kidding me? He only had one tackle.
One tackle.
I didn't realize that.
He had three pressures, had a sack, but one solo tackle is what he had. But he was all over the place. There were times, though, that the protection scheme, they were moving away from him. They were leaving him. What were they doing there? And that comes back to trying to scheme together a game plan that makes a whole lot of sense. Purdue, what do? We're going to get our best players in the best place, and we're going to win a football game that way. We're going to have our five-star first-round draft pick in Karlaftis, and we're going to have him make plays. David Bell's going to do the same. We're going to put our guys in a spot. It's 17-7. It's not going well. And you go away from Goodson. You put it in the hands of Spencer Petras.
Behind that offensive line.
That can't block
to save their
the life of them.
No, they can't.
The tackles are brutal.
The tackles are awful.
Yeah.
The tackles are really bad.
The interior is okay. Lindenbaum's obviously excellent.
Yeah.
And
Shooter's good.
He's above average.
He's good, right.
He's a B-minus, B,
right.
Something like that. Mm-hmm. Justin Britt struggled.
Yeah,
he was bad
mightily.
When he was in there.
Mightily.
Connor Colby almost didn't play.
Mm-hmm.
And you can see he was banged up
Richmond
in the tackles.
Shouldn't have.
So, and DeYoung was, I think, the worst of the group. What do you do? By game seven, this is normally the time that Iowa's offensive line, even if it does have those struggles early on, they're rounding into form. It doesn't look like that's going to happen with this group.
No.
And you still have Wisconsin.
Yeah.
And you still have that defensive line in Minnesota. And you still have Nebraska that does have a defense, regardless of what happened on Saturday.
That was unbelievable. They did it again to themselves.
You still have those teams in front of you. Oh, and by the way, Northwestern, who looks awful, yet it's Northwestern.
Mm-hmm.
And much like Purdue, you can't just chalk anything up for a W. I was favored in all five games the rest of the year. You confident they're going 5-0? You confident they're going even 4-1? I can't get there.
No, I'm starting to think this is Outback Bowl, and I hate to say that. I hate to say it because there was so much. Look, they're 6-1. They still got everything right in front of them, right? They really do.
They do, yeah.
Just here's a little tip. Find Brian Ferentz, find a way to get Keegan Johnson more involved.
17 snaps.
Is that all it was?
How in God's name, after that first play of the game, after what you've seen this season, how do you play one of your few playmakers 17 snaps in a game that you're trailing basically throughout?
Mm-hmm.
How?
In a team that has as pedestrian a wide receiver group as they've had in some time, and you've got a guy who is a difference maker.
Yes.
Because we've seen it sporadically, because he's only on the field every now and then. Look, Laporta's your go-to guy, I get that, but get the ball to Keegan Johnson.
Yes. Get Arlen Bruce out there more.
I agree.
The Maryland game, he was dynamic. He was the best receiver that they had.
Mm-hmm. Did Tracy catch a pass?
I know, he dropped a few.
Regain, he caught a couple. Yeah. I mean, come on. These are Charlie Jones is of that trio. I think Jones is the best of that trio of the Tracy, Regainey, and Jones. I think Jones is the best of the three.
And I'd put the two freshmen in front of
those
guys.
Too.
Well, the time is now. You have a bye week.
Right?
You have a chance to get right. You're going to play.
Look what Matt Campbell did. This was a different Iowa State team coming out of their bye week.
It was.
Take a page, Ferentz, and Parker. Out of I mean, you can make adjustments in the middle of the season. This is the time to do it. Iowa State was a different football team that took the field. Now let's see Iowa be a different football team when they get back in action. Trent, it was so bad that Shudak missed a 25-yard field goal.
And just hooked the crap out of it.
Right?
Terrible. As good as he had been.
Oh, my God.
And it looked like the win, and then you saw the Purdue kicker miss one. Here's the thing. They lose, and it should have been a lot worse.
It could have been.
There was a drop pick six.
Well, the ball that was the turnover, as they're calling. It's the worst rule in sports, by the way, or one of. And it was the right call.
It was
the right call.
Don't throw the ball to the pylon.
Don't do it. But you know what? So the call was overturned.
Mm-hmm.
They get the ball. Sack, incomplete punt. That's what they did with that momentum on their side.
Sounds
back-to-back
right.
Sacks, INT, no, incomplete, and a punt.
You knew it was going to be a letdown spot. Said it last week.
See, you did. I didn't buy it, but you were right. You were right.
You go from the best environment in Kinnick Stadium history to playing Purdue. It's going to be a letdown spot, and that showed up in a big-time way. But you also got to be good enough to overcome that, and you have to find a way to get, and they just couldn't. It was lifeless. It was such a disappointing performance. And I think everybody knows I'm not the biggest Spencer Petras fan.
No, he was bad.
He was bad.
But the line in front of him.
But it was the offensive line.
Right.
Was worse. And Alex Padilla and Deuce Hogan.
No,
those
they wouldn't have made any difference at all.
Nah, absolutely not.
Uh-uh.
Those are not the guys that are going to turn it around. You said it before the year today. Purdue had three quarterbacks.
That's what text I got from a Hawkeye fan. Purdue's got three quarterbacks. Iowa has Spencer Petras.
Iowa has zero.
Yeah, that's what he meant.
So Iowa, still, before the season, for me, it was all about Indianapolis. It wasn't another 8-4, 9-3 year.
Mm-hmm.
It was get to Indianapolis.
It's still in front of them.
It's right there.
Yes.
You can still do it. And with Wisconsin's troubles, and even if they do falter next week, still going to get there. Look at Purdue's schedule they still have left.
Mm-hmm.
It's incredibly difficult.
East, yeah.
You can still get there, and that's the ultimate goal, getting there. Giving yourself an opportunity against Ohio State in that championship game. And even if it doesn't go right, this is still a really young team. Maybe ahead of schedule for the 6-0 start that they had this year, but there's still a lot out there.
Mm-hmm.
The good thing is, I do still believe that this coaching staff is going to come out and it's going to be a different team.
Well, Keegan Johnson's got to be example number one that I want to see. Exhibit A.
Yes.
Keegan
get him
Johnson.
Out there. You need to get your biggest playmaker out there. When you're down 17-7, give the ball to Tyler Goodson, for the love of God. Brian Ferentz.
He's behind that offensive line, and there's just nothing there for him.
It's the same crap with Northwestern last year when he threw it with Petras 51 times. He struggles when the scheme starts to change, when you have to change, when you have to evolve in-game. He's not a great offensive coordinator at that. He just isn't. He can put together great ones. He can put together ideas and game plans that work. But when he has to adjust on the fly, we just don't have any history that has shown that he is good in those kind of games.
Iowa State's got a kicker. We talked about Shudak missing. Mevis was unbelievable. My God, 4-for-4 field goal-wise and a couple of them over 40 yards. He was terrific. They still don't have a punter. They're going to need one. I mean, the field position differential with the punting game, it means so much. Look what Iowa does. I don't know why they kept kicking the ball to Knowles early in that football game. But they've got a kicker. This Mevis is... He's been terrific. So Iowa goes into their bye. Iowa State gets Oklahoma State. Just feels different about this Cyclone team. I know Hawks fans are down, Trent, but again, think back to where you were in August, guys and gals. 6-1, you'd sign for that. More likely to be 4-3, 5-2. The naysayers were 4-3. You know, 5-2 is probably realistic. You're 6-1. You're in a great spot.
Everything's
you control
in front of
you. Your destiny as far as winning the West. What more do you want?
Unless Purdue wins out.
Yeah, and they're not. They're not.
They still got Michigan State and Ohio State.
And have you seen how the Buckeyes look all of a sudden?
And Wisconsin, yeah. And the Buckeyes are back. Hope people jumped aboard. Was it a week and a half ago I said, if you're looking for a future,
Yeah, you know, I jumped aboard too soon. I only got him at 5.5.
5.5.
To win the Natty. And that's Georgia. Boy, they look good, don't they?
Yes, they do. Ooh.
So if you're Tennessee, well, more on the, let's just spend a minute on this, because that was an embarrassing display. It really was. What do you do? How does Tennessee punish themselves? Forget about what the SEC.
Mm-hmm.
Tennessee's going to be writing a check. What do you do?
Student section not allowed.
Student section not allowed for a game or next for the rest
game,
of the year?
I'd say next home game.
And the next home game is Georgia?
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
You know what? That's probably a good one to stay away from. You're probably doing them a favor.
Right.
Yeah.
That's probably the only
can
thing
you,
that...
Can you punish the entire fan base by shutting Neyland Stadium to fans except for the 10,000 or however Georgia fans are allowed in? Something has to be done.
Parents are allowed, something
parents,
like that.
Yeah, it's almost like a COVID game.
Yeah, probably. And I would think Georgia fans, you can't allow them in either, right?
Well, that's what you do. You just punish them?
You got a ticket, you just put on a Georgia t-shirt, and you take it off when you get into the game? Or you just wear a neutral shirt? And you go into the game.
Well, you got to have one of those tickets in the Georgia section, the fan section.
I think the only thing with teeth that actually is realistic is the student section is closed. That's
because the big boosters that have been writing these checks forever, you're going to punish me. I was gone by that point.
Right.
You know, I got to get.
I was there. I was cheering on the team.
Yeah.
I got pelted, and then Lane Kiffin getting hit by the golf ball.
Yeah.
In the elbow.
Uh huh.
Picking it up.
And then catching the bottle of water.
Yes.
I mean, his security force behind him, they're ducking. And here's the head coach reaching back and making a play.
He's excellent.
Yeah,
he is.
He
is so good for college football.
I agree with you.
You need characters.
Yep.
And he absolutely is a character. A character that is on his way to LSU.
See how Orgeron's getting paid off?
Oh, $17
million. And how they're paying
him. What a national championship. They owe him.
Yeah, they do. Joe Burrow was pretty choked up at the... he got asked after the Cincinnati victory.
Oh, I didn't see that.
Yeah, at the press conference. I mean, look what he did for his career.
Yeah.
I mean, Joe Burrow, I don't know what he said, he's languishing. So Joe Brady had a big role in it, too, mm-hmm. now in Carolina. Maybe he's at LSU. Yeah, that's a big job. That's a big job.
LSU and USC are open.
Two of them. Two huge jobs. Which one are you taking?
Well, what's my ultimate goal?
Well, national championship.
Then it's LSU.
I agree with you.
If it's to be employed for a decade.
Yeah.
Both places tough to stay for a decade.
Right.
Probably USC.
Mm-hmm.
But they have some wild expectations there as well.
At USC?
Yeah.
I mean, I guess I'll take your word for it. It's the Pac-12 out of sight, out of mind.
Right.
I mean, the football's different in the SEC. We saw a perfect example at Neyland Stadium. Yeah, that was a bad, bad look on college football this week. It truly was. We've got keywords.
We do.
They're back. Not sure how long this runs for. How long? It's usually about a month, is it not?
Something like that, yeah.
But today is the first day that we're back in the keyword business. Are you ready in there with the sounder?
I am. For people that don't know, this is your chance to win, what,
$1,000? $1,000.
All you got to do is text. That's it.
Simple as that. Text the keyword deposit to 200-200 right now. It's your chance to win $1,000. That's deposit to 200-200.
You'll get a confirmation text and info. Standard data and message rates apply in this nationwide contest.
Scott Dockerman coming up from The Athletic. We'll head to Vegas, talk to our friend Mike Palm from Circus Sports at about 10:50. Bama, Trent, and I will go around college football. You know, I think you nailed it. I think it's the student section that has to pay a price for a game.
Pay the penalty there.
Yeah.
How about the cheerleaders going off and holding their signs over their heads? Terrible.
It was an awful look. It was a terrible look on the sport. And then Michael Swain, who covers Iowa State for 24/7 Sports, CycloneAlert.com. He's our final guest. We'll get to him about 11:35 before Mr. Monday Night joins the fray. 10:25, Doc next, Miller and Condon, 1460, KXNO
100 bets off.
Back to Miller and Condon on 1460 KXNO and 106.3 FM.
All right, Miller and Condon, 1460 KXNO, 106.3 FM. You know, fast forward a year. Mm-hmm. Can you imagine the commercial breaks? Political sports betting. Political sports betting. How long will our breaks be? My God.
2022.
Oh, political commercial, sports betting commercial, rinse and repeat. Scott Dockerman joins the program. He covers for the Hawks for The Athletic. Hello, Scott Dockerman. Trent and Ken, thanks for coming on, Doc. How are you?
Hey, it's a beautiful Monday morning, so I guess I can't complain about that.
Indeed it is. You want to complain about your Bears?
I've resigned myself to the Bears when they play the Packers.
Yeah.
Aaron Rodgers said it. He said what everybody was thinking out loud. He owns them.
Yes, he certainly does.
But there's nothing I can say about it.
No. Well, let's talk Hawks, Doc. And it seemed like everything that could go wrong did go wrong. I mean, when you've got Shudik, who's been unbelievable this year, missing a chip shot 25-yarder. There were so many things. You just flush it, right? It's just one of these games. Sure, you want to learn from it. But you go into the bye week and you just get out the drawing board. How will they handle this, Doc? Because that was bad.
I think you started kind of. I think it's almost like popping a blister at this point, because they've been kind of offensively, especially living on the edge, relying on the defense to generate all these turnovers. So at some point, you're gonna crap out, and then at that point, you've got to make sure you're able to generate your own offense, and Iowa hasn't been able to do that. So I think right now it's kind of multifold. One, if you're on the defensive side, it's mostly flush it. It's, hey, they've got a really good defense. They didn't play very well the other day. They had an incredible performance by a performer who's killed them. And they've also are going against a team in a system that really has the anecdote for how to beat Iowa. So you just kind of look at it, learn from it, move on, and grow. Special teams, no question. I mean, that was a weird angle for Caleb Shudik, so it's understandable that he missed one field goal. But offensively, they got to go under the hood. It's time.
Yeah.
It's been seven games. You know, maybe I've been making excuses. Certainly, you kind of figure eventually they're going to get it. And I think in the passing game, they've gotten better. The running game is not. The running game now is at a really low level, and they've got to figure something out here soon, or this is not the year to be cheering to go to Tampa. This is the year to go to Indy, and this is the year to do something special and elite. And if they can't figure that out, then there's going to be a lot of consternation in the offseason.
You don't go back to a year ago in the loss to Northwestern. There was a lot put on the shoulders of Brian Ferentz, having Petras throw the ball, was it 51 times in that game? Same thing here. Petras, 17 to 32. They're bad down late, a couple of those interceptions late. I don't think really in the grand scheme of thing matter. But Tyler Goodson, 12 carries in the game. In a game that was 17-7, you've had plenty of opportunities in the second half. What happened? Did Brian just get caught with his deer in the headlights once again in a close game?
Not really. I mean, they just didn't get any first downs. When you have three plays and in 3 minutes in the third quarter, it's hard to generate anything at that point. And that's a hand in hand with the defense. The defense couldn't get off the field. Mm-hmm. It got really lucky with that ball fumbling out of Sheffield's hands and hitting the pylon right before he scored. And I don't look at it as totally an offensive failure at that point to do much with the running game, because once they had the ball, they got, seven plays or something like that in the third quarter. So there wasn't much they could do. I will say that the running game was playing better in the first half, but, you need some three and outs too. And the way the defense was playing, it was hard, made it really hard for Brian. And then they had some opportunities. I mean, they had a punt return and a kick return that put them in really good scoring positions. They, had the turnover at the goal line that worked in their favor. They just couldn't do anything with it. And that's where the real valuation needs to come in.
And also, I think that the personnel, Doc, especially at the receiver position, I mean, Tracy and Reganey, we need, in my opinion, we need to see way more of Keegan Johnson. We need to see way more of Arlen Bruce. You got two true freshmen that I think deserve, because talent-wise, they are better than the kids that have been in the program for a while. Tracy and Reganey need to see fewer balls come their way, and Johnson and Bruce, I think it needs to be elevated. Do you believe that is a concern, and do you think that that'll be something that's addressed during the bye week?
I think what needs to be evaluated is maybe the actual positions that they play within this receiver group. I mean, Tyrone Tracy has not performed up to expectation at all as the X receiver, which is the split end on the line of scrimmage. Is that his fault? Yeah, it is ultimately, but it's also the staff's fault for not realizing, you know what, this isn't working. We need to do something with it. And they have a little bit. They've put Keegan Johnson out there, but I think you're right on some things, and that is you need to accelerate their development and get them out on the field a little bit more often because they are performing. I do think Tyrann Tracy has something to offer, but it's not what he's offered thus far. He's probably been, you know, a disappointment, and I think he can admit that too. I mean, he had four targets the other day. He's had 12 over the last four games, and he's had three total catches. That's not what you expect from a player you bring to Indianapolis. So I think that's really, to me, in the passing game where things need to go. And that could be, hey, let's make Tracy off the ball. Let's make him the move target. Let's make him do things. And I think that's probably where he's best situated. So I think you can operate them all equally under minutes because or snaps because you look at Reganey, he's made some incredible catches this year. And Tracy's made some good ones over the years, and Charlie Jones did too. Mm-hmm. But I do think that the other two are the guys for the future, no question.
Doc, we can talk about all these different things with the offense, but if the line doesn't play better, and specifically the tackles, it's not going to matter one iota. Because of that, two young tackles out there, it doesn't feel like there's a whole lot they can do. And normally by game seven, offensive line under Ferentz is starting to round into form. Your takeaway there, and what, if anything, can be done? Or are you just going to sink and swim with those youngsters out wide?
Well, they can't check under any too many rocks. There aren't any out there. I mean, I don't know if you can, you know, look at somebody on the third team and say, hey, let's elevate this kid to the first team today. I don't think that works that way. They would have seen something in practice. Somebody would have been on the second team. Somebody would have been in the lineup. So they do have to kind of sink or swim with certain players. I probably thought the guards played worse than the tackles. George Karloftis is a tough matchup for anybody, and when he's on the right against the right tackle, it was doubly difficult for Iowa. I do think Cody Ince is their second best lineman, and having him out hurt inside. You know, they're trying to accelerate Connor Colby. I think he's going to be a really good player. Right now, it's what you'd expect from a true freshman. Kyler Schott got overwhelmed physically a lot of times, and I think his limitations kind of showed up. And Justin Britt, sometimes I question, you know, what he's doing out there. But I think there's room to grow. I think this week is going to be vital for that unit to fundamentally get there and to allow and to really force feed something. And, you know, they have a new offensive line coach, so I don't know how much of this is on him. But I do think that they've got a lot of room to grow. If they can somehow stabilize the line and become a little bit better and also run the ball with more effectiveness, they're going to win this division. If they can't, they're going to have a really disappointing end of the season, and then it's going to be a really rough offseason.
Now, Doc, you accentuated in your piece yesterday, I think it was yesterday, the 5.4 tackles for loss per game is what they're averaging, giving up, as opposed to last year, it was just like, 3.5? It's almost two more tackles per loss this offensive line is yielding than they did last year. That stat jump off the page in that piece you wrote, Doc.
Yeah, it does. And it shows that they're allowing too much penetration. And is that, and some of that's blitzing, you know, they faced some blitzing teams like Penn State. But on the other hand, it's performance. You've got to make sure that you can allow your running back to see the hole and hit it. And, is it on the running backs? I think a slight degree, but not much. This is really an offensive line based problem. And, you know, they replaced three guys that, two of which are in the NFL, and Alaric Jackson and Cole Banwart, and Mark Kallenberger retired. And I think we've seen the effects of that. But by game seven, it should be mitigated, and it's not.
All this talk about the offense, the defense wasn't great itself, and David Bell doing his thing against the Hawkeyes. I know they tried a few different things, but overall, Brohm said in the press conference afterwards, he was surprised they did pretty much Iowa football throughout most of the game. Takeaway on that side of the football, and David Bell does it again.
Yeah, I think there was some arrogance by the coaching staff. They figured they could just slightly shade or do a little here and there, and they would be fine. Well, they're older, they're better. Yeah, it didn't work when you're playing against a player of that caliber, who, I mean, I guess I would say he reminds me of Larry Fitzgerald, and I don't use that term, you know, with hyperbole there. I think that in some ways that, you know, Iowa did get, taken for that. And there should have been more changes. They should have probably tried something where they had somebody on him head up at the line of scrimmage. And, of course, they did not.
There you go.
And of course, they did not. That was pretty much Iowa's defense right there. the defensive line needed to get pressure. Yeah. And that's really hard against a quick strike attack like Purdue's. But they still need to do that and need to do a better job. And I think that's what the next 2 weeks will be about.
Mm. Bell reminds you of Fitzgerald. You know, Karlaftis reminds me of J.J. Watt.
Pretty good count.
A little bit. There was a positive. I thought Jack Kerner was terrific again, Doc. He's having a really good year. He's got to figure out the umpire. if he can figure him out, try to shed that umpire block that O'Connell used to score that touchdown, he's going to be fine. No, all kidding aside, I thought he was really good. Scott Tuckerman, what have you got coming out during the bye week? Anything you want to alert the Athletic subscribers or those who are still on the fence that you've got planned this week?
Yeah, we've got our midseason reports. I'm writing one right now for Tuesday on the Big Ten, just kind of where things stand for the whole league in its entirety. And then on Wednesday, I'll have the Iowa report and kind of looking back at the positives. And believe me, there are many. Yep. I mean, today we're breaking down the negatives, but there are a lot of positives for this team. And then also, you know, the highlight, the areas were of improvement, which we just spent 10 minutes talking about. And then beyond that, you know, we should have coaching availability later in the week, and we'll kind of highlight what's being discussed and if there are any changes or if they're just going to stay the same, stay the course, and then get ready for the backstretch of the football season.
Well, find me a Hawkeye fan who back in August wouldn't have signed for 6-1 going into the bye week. I don't think there are too many of them, and that's where the team stands. Scott Dockerman, great to speak with you. Thank you, Doc. Have a good week. Talk to you next Monday.
All right. Thanks, guys. Have a good one.
Yeah, you do the same. Scott Dockerman from The Athletic on Iowa. Get the Iowa State perspective in about an hour from now with Michael Swain from 24/7 Sports, CycloneAlert.com. Off to Vegas we shall go. Mike Palm from Circa, who got clobbered this past weekend.
Every favorite won the noon window.
They were a perfect slate, huh?
7-0.
Oof. I wonder what the late games did. Dallas covering? Couldn't have been good?
No.
What did the Steelers go off at?
Five and a half.
So they didn't cover.
They did not.
And then, of course, the Bills tonight. Mike Palm next. Miller and Condon, 1460 KXNO, 106.
That's off.
All right, welcome back. Miller and Condon, 1460 KXNO, 106.3 FM, about 10 minutes before the hour of 11. This real estate, radio real estate, belongs to Circa Sports. Last weekend, we had Jeff Benson on from Circa, the VP of Ops, and Iowan is amongst us. He's Mike Palm from Circa, who I imagine, like most of the books, were licking their wounds after the results of the NFL yesterday. Mike, Trent, and Ken, thanks for coming on. I mean, I know ultimately, I think it was Jay Cornegay said, well, we'll figure a way to get up off the mat. We've been here before, but it was not a good day for the books, was it?
No, I mean, all seven games in that early window, noon on your time, I mean, not only do the favorites win outright, but they cover.
Right.
I mean, and then you got a little relief in the afternoon window with the Broncos losing as a favorite and the Browns losing as a favorite, but the Dallas game, the fact that they covered 3.5 in overtime with the touchdown was a huge swing. I mean, it goes from a day that would only hurt a little to a day that hurt a lot.
Yeah, the bettors got you on yesterday, no doubt about that. Mike Palm, so let's talk about Iowa for a second. I know you guys are going to make your way to your home state in a couple of weeks. We look forward to that. How have the sign-ups been going for the folks that want to get involved and play with Circa? Have you guys been pleased with the first couple of months, or weeks rather, since you've been live here in our state?
Yeah, Ken, we'll be out there the 4th through the 6th. I'll be there late the night of the 4th. I'm flying back from Washington, D.C. But we'll be doing some events in the Des Moines area and Wild Rose and Jefferson. They're coming in. You know, we haven't really hit the advertising button just yet. Derek hasn't put his foot on the gas. But, yeah, we're getting a couple dozen signups each day, some good wires, people wiring in their money to put in their account. So people taking advantage of that the wires are available, and yeah, we're off to a start. We're seeing action. We get the report every day on the activity in Iowa and what the needs are in Iowa, and so yeah, I mean, we did a little launch here, and it's only been a couple weeks, so far so good.
So of course, as you know, Mike, college football is huge here, along with the NFL. But the Hawkeyes losing on Saturday, losing in that fashion, big favor, 11.5. Purdue continues to have their number. What have you guys seen as it pertains to both the Iowa, maybe the Iowa State betting as they cover as a favorite on the road down in Kansas State? Anything jump off? Has it been heavy money coming in the limited people that have signed up to this point with Circa Sports? Have you seen anything that kind of tips your guys' trigger when you look at both the Iowa and the Iowa State lines?
No, more so Iowa. But, you know, I thought that game was a little bit of an anomaly because there was all these whispers of COVID with Purdue on Friday, wow. Right? I mean, that was coming out, but the number didn't move. And then I thought this number would run away if that were true. The number really didn't move. It held at 11.5, and it was actually a good result for the book, both in Nevada and Iowa, and even in Colorado on Saturday, that Iowa not only didn't cover but really didn't compete in that game. Iowa State more balanced on the action. This is an interesting number here. I mean, Oklahoma State looked great in the second half against Texas and Austin, and now they bring a 6-0 record to Ames. And we opened this number 7, Iowa State 7, and it hasn't moved just yet. I would think we're going to get some Oklahoma State money, at least in Nevada, and this number will come down a little bit. But in Iowa, I'm sure we're not going to come off the 7.
Yeah, probably the case. So what about baseball? Because, look, my experience is if it's the Lakers, you're going to be upside down on Laker money. Certainly the Golden Knights in Las Vegas. But is it the same with the Dodgers, Mike? I mean, have you guys I know that the baseball game is not going to make up for the losses yesterday in the NFL. But when the Dodgers go down to defeat, I'm assuming that's probably going to be a positive for the bookmakers.
Yeah, that was one of the few bright spots yesterday, that Scherzer got beat, right? Not just the Dodgers.
Right, yeah.
They have one of their name pitchers. When they throw a bullpen game, it's not going to be as heavy. When they throw Scherzer or Buehler or Kershaw when he was healthy, you're going to see a lot of money. Look, on Thursday when you had Game 5 Dodgers-Giants and you had the Thursday Night Football Eagles-Buccaneers, we had more action on Game 5 of the
really?
Division Series than we did on the – and I wasn't sure. We went full audio with the Dodgers in all of our bars, the sports books, Stadium Swim, and that's what people wanted to see. Maybe it was because it wasn't as attractive a Thursday night matchup as maybe you would have wanted to have, but there's still so much Dodgers. No, we were the official sponsor of the Padres this year, right? The Nevada sponsor did a lot of advertising with them. When those Dodgers and Padres games were in the summer, the book would be full, and it would probably still be two-thirds Dodger fans.
Isn't that something?
They move the needle, no doubt, and the price that they have right now, I see at Circa Sports, plus 160 to come back and win this series, win 4 out of 5, and knock off the Braves. You guys are even right now on the Red Sox-Astros series, minus 110 on each side. I'm going to guess you're rooting for the Braves, no doubt, but who are you rooting for right now in the Red Sox-Astros series?
You know, there's not that much of a difference. It's like, it's not. I don't even know that it's a five-figure decision.
Oh, wow.
On that, even World Series results, the only real liability we had was the Giants. Mm-hmm. And the Giants weren't as much a liability for us as other books. I mean, there were a handful of other books in Vegas that had eight-figure liability on the Giants to win the World Series. We only had small six-figure liability, and that got knocked out of the way in that Game 5. But we'll definitely be rooting for the Braves as far as who is going to win the National League.
I want to, speaking of futures, let's go to the Super Bowl. And are you starting to see an influx, or have you seen an influx of Cowboy money coming in? Because this looks like a team that's got every chance to get out of the NFC, especially Dak Prescott's playing like an MVP. Are you guys upside down on the Cowboys? Do you expect to be?
Yeah, we are. And it really happened after they walloped the Eagles on Monday night.
Wow.
And it looked like, you know, when it starts to look like they're the only team in the division and they're good at, you know, who knows the path, but they could end up with a 1 or a 2 seed in the NFC and have those games at Jerry World. So that number has come down significantly as we've seen Cowboy money. Also, people coming a little bit back in on the Chiefs now that the number got better after they went to 2 and 3, a price you haven't been able to get on the Chiefs in the last 3 years. People have started to take a few shots with the Chiefs.
See right now on the Yes No Bet at Circa, Chiefs 8-1 to win it all. You want to go the no, minus 1240. Well, speaking of the NFL, it's Monday Night Football. Titans, Bills. The Bills, one of those teams, I'm sure a lot of people have been jumping aboard here throughout this season. Number is 6, and I'm looking at that total, 53.5. boy, feels like this one, weather aside, could be a really, really high-scoring game. Where are you guys at?
Yeah, we're at 6. I think we might go to 6.5. That's the next move. It isn't going back to 5.5, I'll tell you that. It's interesting, last weekend on Sunday night, that was a very heavily bet game. We had almost a $1 million decision on that game, and we needed the Bills. I mean, because, you know, when a team gets hot like the Bills, a lot of the sharp bettors try to get in front of them and play the other side. And so we had a lot of money on the Chiefs last week, especially on the money line. I think people are starting to change their minds here now, and we're going to see the money on the Bills. There may be a few contrarian bettors that try to take a shot at the Titans tonight. Remember, this was the strange Tuesday night game last year with the COVID, and it was just like a house of horrors for the Bills. I think they pulled Josh Allen in the third quarter. Things just weren't going their way, and they kind of conceded the game. There might be a little bit of a revenge spot on their mind as well.
That's an excellent point. Mike Palm from Circa is the VP of Ops. He's in Iowa, and he joins us, and we'll see you in a couple of weeks. Face-to-face, Mike Palm. Thanks for popping on. We appreciate it. You guys do a great job at Circa Sports. Circa Sports, Iowa, they are here. Thank you, Mike.
Thanks, guys. Can't wait to see you in a few weeks.
We look forward to it. Take care. Mike Palm from Circa Sports as we round out hour number one. Bama, Trent, and I go around college football. Michael Swain covers Iowa State. He'll join us about 11:35. Mr. Monday Night is here. Lots to do in hour number two on 1460 KXNO and 106.3 FM.